Anchors up and let's sail away as the Oswego State men's hockey 2021-2022 season is just about underway. Happy Saturday, guys. I'm Michael Gross, joined by the Zach Case and Thomas Bubba Turgeon. Boys, I am ecstatic to be here.
The fact that we actually have hockey besides NHL with no fans last year.
I'm the low guy on the totem pole. I'm the chief sports web editor at WTOP 10 Sports, Zach Case, junior technology education major from Rochester, New York. So excited to be back, excited to get on some broadcasts, and excited to see what this men's hockey team can really do this season. Of course, women's hockey starting next weekend too, and we'll talk about them in the coming episodes. But men's hockey returns this weekend, Utica coming in, and it's going to be a tough matchup.
Sounds like first day of class all over again. That's what it sounds like. I mean, we're what, 7 weeks into classes right now, and it sounds like first day of class.
Halfway through the semester.
I know, midterms already.
That's crazy.
Unbelievable. But with midterms in the fall semester comes hockey, and that is what we are here to talk about. First, let's get a recap. The last time the Lakers played was on March 7th at Geneseo at the Ira S. Wilson Ice Arena. They lost 4-1 in the Suniac final, and yeah, heartbreaker. All right. They had to say goodbye to so many players, some unexpectedly due to the pandemic canceling the 2020-2021 season. But the season as a whole did not go as planned anyway in 2019-2020. Started off hot in the preseason rankings, whether that was not just in the Suniac, but also the U.S. or was USCHO. And so they just kept losing. They kept losing in big games. They kept losing to big teams in those high pressure situations. And it wasn't good. And they started to roll downhill and they caught a downwind, and it was not a successful season. I'm sure if you ask the man himself, head coach Ed Gosek, he probably wants to put that on the back burner. And he's had 19 months to put that on the back burner, and now it's a new season. But Thomas, I need to know your thoughts on the 1920 season.
It was definitely a struggle. The one thing that caught my eye, Ed Gosek in his coaching era since 2003-2004 has never lost double-digit games besides 1 year. So pretty much 16 years at the top, and this is only the second time that Oswego State has had double-digit losses in a season. The only other time in 2015-2016, and they ended up getting to the Suniac semifinal. So other than that, it's been single-digit losses all around for Oswego State.
And Zach, this team started off as hot as any team in the entire country. Win against Carleton and a win against Nazareth in both their exhibition games. Flew past Carleton. I wouldn't say they struggled against Nazareth, but it was a much more even game. Flew past Cortland, annihilated Plattsburgh in whiteout weekend 3-0. Absolutely annihilated Potsdam, beat Brockport here at home on Teddy Bear Toss. And then that's when the big boys came in. Geneseo, they went down to Geneseo. They lost 9-1. They went to Hobart about a week later, and they lost 4-1. Then about a week after that, they played Salve Regina, and they lost 6-3. And this is might I add, the number two team in Geneseo, the number four team in Hobart, and the number seven team in Salve Regina. Oswego starting out as the number five team, I believe. And so they were at least in the top 10. As the number five team, you got to be strong enough to be able to win at least one of those games, let alone, or instead of lose three.
And let's talk about that downfall. You go to Geneseo in the road, obviously a tough game in the Ira, losing 9-1. Tons of penalty minutes. We've talked about this a lot if you've been around this Oswego State men's hockey team. And with those penalties, you go into Hobart, you don't have all your guys. You got guys getting out, kicked out of the game in Geneseo. They can't play in Hobart in Geneva. That's a 4-1 loss. Now you're 0-2 against ranked opponents nationally. They go to Utica for the Thanksgiving showcase, lose to Salve Regina, another ranked team. Plymouth State obviously being a weaker team, get the win there. And they kind of get back on track ahead of that break heading into January. And obviously, Buffalo State, Fredonia, two teams kind of in the mid-pack going on the road to Buffalo. That was a big weekend for them, getting those wins in the conference. But when you go outside of the conference, you think about those non-conference games. Those are big. Getting those bids for the national championship, for the tournament, and stuff like that. And then you go into the weekend, a Pathfinder, St. Mary's comes up. And I know we talked about this a lot at TOP. We didn't think they were going to win anything. They went 2-0. They swept the weekend, took care of business. And then Oswego ends up losing to UNE, another ranked opponent. And throughout the whole season, they go 0-6 against nationally ranked opponents. And I pulled up the rankings, the poll from March 23rd, 2020. Oswego with 7 votes outside of the top 15.
Yeah.
So they fall from 5th outside of the top 15, and you can't beat nationally ranked opponents. That's what's going to happen.
So really, I guess really it was 0-7 because they played Geneseo 3 times.
Yes.
And
yes,
they lost them 3 times. But yes, how hard is that for a team to play another team 3 times in a season and beat them all 3 times? Geneseo is a fantastic hockey team. Don't get me wrong. All right. Every time they step on the ice, you know that their intent is to win that game, and they got a pretty damn good shot at it. But in the end, it is hard to beat a team 3 times in a row in one season. Yeah, and Geneseo did it.
Geneseo got done. And let's talk about that February 9th game when they came to town for the Pride Night. And Oswego doing a great job there. They were late in the third period. It was a close game. Maybe some bad calls from the referees. Obviously, you can't really dwell on that. That's not no excuse, really. And Kozakowski was in net for that one with a goaltender change halfway through the season. And Geneseo got the job done in the Murano Campus Center, now the Deborah F. Stanley Arena. So really, for Geneseo, it's a great 3 wins against Oswego, and that's how they get it done, and that's how you win the SUNY Championship.
And when they came to town, Geneseo, at the first game since that 9-1 massacre down at the Ira S. Wilson Ice Arena in Geneseo, and the, 88 penalty minutes, Thomas, that had to have been on everybody's mind going in, and not just all the fans or media, but the players and coaches as well.
Oh, absolutely. You get 6-7 guys that get kicked out of the game against Geneseo, who rightfully so was one of the best teams in the nation, being a 9-1 in the Ira, which is an electric atmosphere. They got a great student section there. And no disrespect to Oswego's student section at all.
It's either. A barn. It's, oh, yeah. That place is a barn. Oh, it's a barn.
It's a nice solid ranked, solid fans, and a 9-1 win for the Knights there. But then they come here. Oswego was electric. The student section was electric. You could just see the physicality coming around with Oswego and Geneseo. It was physical the entire game. And then at the end of the day, with about 1 minute to go, Oswego loses the faceoff. Geneseo pulls it to the point and fires one past Kozakowski to take the 4-3 lead and end up sinking an empty net to make it 5-3. So in reality, Oswego was in the game for the entire game. They just, one little flaw at the end of the game ended up causing them a W.
Yeah. Hey, that's what happens. That's what happens.
It's that one mental mistake.
It's one. It only takes one for everything to go downhill.
And against a team like Geneseo, that they're going to pounce on that. They're going to use that opportunity and take advantage, really.
Yeah, I don't think Geneseo is one of those teams that makes mental mistakes. I don't, in my time here, the Lakers have never, never beaten the Ice Knights. They've tied them since the fall of 2018. They've tied them once. They've never beaten them.
Yeah, the history behind it, back in 2018-19, they tied 4-4, like mm-hmm. we talked about, in overtime. That was back in the 2018-19 season. And the last time the Lakers actually got a win was back in the 2017-18 season at home, a 4-2 win back of February 9th of 2018. So, and since then, 5 losses, obviously that tie at home. But we're talking about that team. They're not coming till teal night. A little later. So Oswego's got some time to prepare for that night. And they already talked about it at their press conference. That's going to be a big game.
Yeah. The last win that the Lakers had against Geneseo, you still had the likes of Devin Campbell. You still had the likes of Mitch Herlihy. You still had David Riche in net between the pipes. You had all these guys that are looked at as, I guess I can say it now that they're gone, icons in Laker hockey history, at least in the recent years. Now what do you have? You have 21 new faces on this team coming into the 2021-22 season. All right. Not all of them freshmen. In fact, only one is an actual class of 2025 freshman, a true freshman, as they call it. But that's because most of those guys listed as sophomores didn't get to play in their quote freshman season. This is 21, I guess, or not 21, but this is a freshman season for most people, for most of the guys on the team, because they didn't get to play with the Lakers last year. There are five transfers. But like I said, only one class of 2025. We've seen some incredible guys go through and wear the green and gold in the last few years. But like we said, Geneseo, that's a special game. This is a special team because every single player on this team that we've talked to, that has been able to kind of reach out to everybody and said, hey, this team's going to go places. There's something about it. There's something in the air. And I'm excited. I'm just as excited as they are.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I remember a couple weeks ago, we were watching them skate. And this team, what they struggled with in the 2019 season was speed. When they played Geneseo, they couldn't keep up with them. But this year, they look a lot faster. They have the size this year. And it looks like they're going to be a team that's going to have to put up with some difficulties. Not to mention, they only have one senior on this team this year. And that's a transfer from UA Anchorage. So this team can gel this year and they can gel next year. So you pretty much have a team compromised loaded with sophomores and juniors. So essentially, if a season this year isn't as successful as you want to, you pretty much have an exact replica of next season.
Yeah, athletic eligibility wise, only one senior. Good point.
That's going to be big.
Because next season could be even better, right? We talk about how this season's going to be good already, but even looking past this season for just a moment, if you only have the one academic or no athletic eligibility wise senior, you got what, 25 guys or 24, 25 guys, aside from the senior and the true freshman, that are just all going to come back, play together. I mean, that's incredible looking ahead to next year. But this year, this is a team where preseason, before the season starts, there will be no named active captain. And that's because head coach Ed Gosek wants to really figure out, all right, who is fit? That's not just physically, that's mentally. And who's the real leader on this team? He doesn't know yet. We obviously have our suspicions. But either way, I think that's a smart move early on.
Let's talk about the returners. Antonucci comes back, LeBlanc, Lewis, DiCarlo, Broman, Kozakowski in net, Bunka and Kirkby, and a lot of names there that ring a bell, really, if you're thinking about that 2019-2020 season. But you also got to remember, some of those guys didn't get in the lineup a lot. They're going to be fresh off the bat. They're going to be ready to go. They've had a lot of time to really focus on this coming season and lead these new guys into this season. So really thinking about it for those nine guys thinking about it, they're going to be fresh and ready to go. And Utica is going to be a big game. And for all the new guys or the transfers coming in, the Murano Campus Center, the Deborah F. Stanley Arena, it's going to be rocking come Saturday with fans returning back into the stadium. And really, it's going to be fun. It's going to be good to see really what these returners do, especially in this expedition game. All three goalies we're probably planning on seeing with Kaz, with Perrant, and with Green. So it's going to be fun to see what happens.
I hope it knocks my socks off. I tell you that much. I hope this game knocks my socks off.
And they're not playing an opponent like we talked about that's like Carlton Place, a juniors team from Canton. They're playing Utica College.
Or a Canton.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Utica College overall has been a solid hockey program for numerous years. They won the UCHC in 2019, the year that COVID ended up wiping out the NCAA tournament. So they had an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. They go into last year. They go to the UCHC semifinal and lose in heartbreaking fashion, triple overtime loss against Elmira, a Southern rival. And then, not to mention, it was the fourth longest game in D3 history. You lose in triple overtime, 2-1, to a team that's very close by you and very competitive, and you just get cut short in a 10-game season. It's really just tough to see if you're Utica. But this year, I think they're going to come back just as hungry for a title.
Coach Gosek said in an interview this week, quote, "You're only as good as your last game." And for both the Lakers and the Pioneers, their last games have been losses. It was the Lakers in 2020 in the Suniac.
Both heartbreakers.
Final. And it was well, less of a heartbreaker, I guess, for the Lakers because it wasn't as close. But, yes, still a heartbreaker. And for Utica, it was the semifinal, the UCHC against Elmira. Why don't we talk about the goaltending situation heading into this weekend? Right now, it almost looks like – not almost. It does look like Stephen Kozakowski, athletically-wise, he's still a junior. In my mind, he's always going to be a senior this year. It's going to take me a little bit to get used to that. But in my mind, the Liverpool native is going to be between the pipes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on that. You saw him come in late in the season in 2019, replacing Richey, and he ended up – holding his own. He was 6-2-1, a 1.88 goals against average, and a 0.924 save percentage. So if you're at Gosek, you're no looking no further than Stephen Kozakowski because he was solid in between the pipes in his sophomore.
I'm going to bring up Eric Green, the transfer out of UMass Lowell, the D1 team, and really thinking about it, not a lot of games, didn't play for UMass Lowell, but that experience at the D1 level and coming in, and really he's going to push Kaz. They're going to push each other. And it's going to be a good situation between the pipes. And also Richey Perrant coming in from juniors, maybe a younger guy for these other two, and maybe can get learning some lessons from these older guys. But you talk about that 2019 season, we saw Kaz step in front of Richey there. And maybe it's the same situation with Perrant possibly stepping in. And we're going to probably see all three of them this weekend, like we talked about. And Gosek said that he's probably going to play all three, one period each. So we'll see what happens come the first game against Hobart in a couple of weeks. But right now, Kaz being the starter coming in last season, Green transferring in, and new face Perrant coming in. So a lot of question marks in between the pipes.
The one thing I do have to mention, though, that I think is an advantage for Kaz and Green is their size compared to Perrant. Perrant isn't the tallest goalie in the world. He's 6'1", but then you have Kaz standing at 6'3", and then you have Green standing at 6'5". So those are some solid, tall dudes. So I think Perrant, he's got, quote-unquote, be big in goal if he wants to look for that starting spot. But Kaz, it's his net to win. It's his net to lose.
It's a mentality, right? It's a be big mentality. It's a be smart mentality. And it's a winner's mentality, right? You don't come in here to play under Ed Gosek, to play under John Whitelaw, right, to wear the green and gold in the Deb tonight.
What we're calling it.
I really like to trademark it, but Stan, we'll figure it out. Well, listen, this is going to be a debate all year, but you don't come in here to SUNY Oswego, to Oswego State with a loser mentality. Every single team, we as a unit, as a school, pride ourselves on winning. That's what we do. And you can't come in, especially to this hockey team, with all those banners and all the numbers on those banners for each year, they've done something great. This is a winning program. This is a winning organization. And you got to come in here with that mentality.
I couldn't agree more.
You really do.
Couldn't agree more. Do we want to do predictions?
Not yet.
No, not yet. We're not there yet?
No,
not yet. No, I don't know.
But first, I'm going to do my own little ad read here. You ever wonder what's going on around campus, or what's the hap in the city of Oswego? I know Bubba's laughing. He loves it. Well, why don't you go ahead, pick up a copy of that Oswegonian. 12 spots around campus, 12 spots around town. I won't list them all because, gee, we'd be here forever. But plenty of stories. You got news, opinion, Laker review, sports. You want to read about something going on around campus, this is your place to do it. Pick up a copy of your Oswegonian today or go to oswegonian.com and read all about it. But be sure to tell your friends because we have some great content coming out week to week.
Plenty of stories coming out of the office.
Especially you mentioned hockey season's coming back. So that's going to be a whole other aspect. We haven't talked hockey in 2 years, pretty much. Last year, we covered lacrosse and softball and baseball, but now all the sports are coming back. So hockey, basketball, swim. We got a whole bunch of more content to discuss, especially with the news.
Oh, we got to make that hockey guide soon too.
There we go.
We gotta get you right. We gotta get you right for during that hockey.
We're sitting at the sports desk right now. This guy's never wrote an article.
No, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen next week. I'm making him do it.
Mandatory assignment.
As the former assistant sports editor, I'm going to make you.
As the multimedia editor.
Sure.
For the Oxygonian.
Because you have power.
Yep. I do.
Listen, I got to be honest. I don't think this Dunkin' worked for me this morning.
It worked for me. It worked for me. I took a drink an Aldi's Red Bull, a little off-brand.
An Aldi's Red Bull?
Yeah, Summit. Summit.
Well, they call it Summit.
Yeah, and I don't know what Red Bull tastes like, so I don't really see a difference. So everyone's like, why did you get all these? I don't know what Red Bull tastes like. So it was really making me I was moving this morning.
I was sluggish, to say the least. We are unofficially sponsored by Dunkin', no free ads. But that is what we literally live on. I would say all three of us.
Well, when it's on the way, it's kind of hard not to just keep driving by.
They put in the perfect spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Dunkin' and Subway.
You can't just say no.
I know. You look at it when there's nobody in line, you're just like, all right, let's go. Well, wait a minute. I had four free beverages yesterday. I've redeemed two of them in the last 2 days, and I can almost guarantee I'm going to redeem the next two in the next 3 days.
See, I'm not on the point system yet.
That's a problem.
You see what I am doing?
That is a problem.
So I'm on the McDonald's point system. Oh boy. You can make your comments how you want it. That's fine.
I'm on that point system too.
I got free stuff waiting in the app. I have
like 7,000 points.
Yep, same. It's bad. I don't know if that's a good thing to have that many points or whatnot.
But. It's a bad thing. But I'd be proud of me. I haven't been there in like a week. So
proud of you. But we go to Dunkin' instead. So how are we doing?
But it's not the same. It's not the same. If someone says Dunkin', they're looked at in a better light than when someone says.
Okay, can we have the discussion? Tim Hortons or Dunkin'? I know you're from New Jersey, so it's a little.
No,
different.
We have Timmy's. We have a Timmy's 20 minutes from us.
Okay, it's not the same. Obviously, all the people listening from the greater North Country.
Tim Hortons.
Maybe. No, it's not the same. But Tim Hortons, that's where it's at.
I can't even lie.
We're a hockey town. We don't have Tim Hortons.
That makes me really upset. I know that makes me really upset. So I've been trying to get a Chipotle here. I've been, you know, emailing.
We got Popeyes headquarters.
No, yeah, I don't want Popeyes. By the time you guys graduate, I've been emailing Chipotle probably once a week, every week since my freshman year, to try and get them. I wonder if they blocked my email by now, but to try and get them to bring a Chipotle here. We need to do the same thing for Tim Hortons.
That's consistency.
Because I agree. I think Tim Hortons is better than Dunkin'.
Oreo ice cap.
Yep. There we go. Yep. That's where we're going. That at your 9 o'clock break. That's where we're going.
Listen, me being from New Jersey, I you wouldn't think I'd have a Tim Hortons near me. But the very first time I had Tim Hortons was, I think, might have been in the city. But either way, I think I was up in Toronto at one point too. I had it once or twice there. I had it once in Montreal. I didn't go when I went to Vancouver a couple of summers ago. But first of all, can I just say, I already love going to Canada because I think it's one of the most beautiful places on earth. But when you have the Tim Hortons there too, it just changes the whole thing.
Your whole experience is just completely different. See, I've gone to Canada a couple times. Never gone to Tim Hortons. It's kind of disappointing. Haven't been to Toronto yet.
You've been to Toronto? It's right here.
Yeah, it's either Toronto or Ottawa. That's the question I got to make. Which one am I going to
first? Where have you been?
Hamilton. We drove through 2 years ago to go to Michigan one time.
On a bus. True.
So that was brutal. No cell service.
Nope. Yeah.
Just got to take a nap, wake up on the other side of the border. So
one can only hope that Ottawa's got cheap hockey tickets this year.
Well, if they remain at the top right now, they're not going. Either way.
They're on Ottawa's a wagon.
Sorry. We went off the rails here.
Listen, sometimes it
happens. We're already talking about the NHL, and it's Oswego Hockey Podcast.
Sometimes it happens. All right. Before we get to predictions for this game, because I know everybody's waiting on it. We're teasing it here. Just got to wait a little longer.
It's hard.
There are some question marks for Oswego State. Although there's a lot of really good energy around this team, there are so many question marks that still need to be answered. Obviously, we just talked about the question mark and goal, or semi-question mark and goal. But Alex DiCarlo had one hell of a rookie year, all right? 17 points, 9 goals, and 8 assists. They don't do 2 points for goals.
Are you kidding me?
Just one. I'm still in soccer mode. I'm still in soccer mode.
We've been focused on that.
Hold on. I'm still in soccer mode. I've been doing that right now. Listen, I apologize to everybody. All right. I'm still mentally in soccer mode. I haven't even started thinking about hockey yet. And the game is tonight. So either way, 17 points in 22 games in 42 shots. The question is, can DiCarlo pick up where he left off in his rookie campaign? Bubba.
I think he's going to break out. You have a freshman who didn't really get as much time in the lineup in the first few games, but then you put him in the lineup and he starts lighting it up. 9 goals, 8 assists, as you mentioned, 17 points in 22 games. You're almost averaging a point per game with that aspect. He's matured. He's gotten bigger. He's gotten stronger. Plus, you have a lot of guys around him that you can build with. You have Roman, who can be in the corners. He's got the grit. He's got the agility. He's got the physicality. You put DiCarlo out front, Roman in the corners, or maybe rotate it around, maybe throw in a sophomore in there and see what happens. But either way, if you find someone that can feed DiCarlo the puck, I think he's going to have a great year this year.
And really, you talk about having – you coming in, you play Sudi Kaden on the 25th, second semester, 1 goal, 3 assists. A great game. Sudi Kaden obviously being a little lower. Doesn't really matter, though. Come in as a freshman, have a great game. So his second semester was great. Talk about those points. You talk about maybe the lineup was a little better with him. We kind of figured out the lines by the time you get later into the season. What I want to see is where the matchups are going to be, what the lines are going to be, and where he fits into the lineup. Is he going to be by himself on his own line with 2 new guys? Is he going to be with Broman again? And that's going to be obviously a question for the coaching staff. We're going to see what happens come tonight. But for me, you got to really see what he did during the offseason. We had plenty of time to go play hockey, go work out, go work on your mental game, and figure out what you're going to do starting tonight. And tonight's really the true test to see what guys were really putting in the work during the offseason and what guys are satisfied. So we'll see what he does. I don't really want to say where my prediction is because I think tonight kind of is a test.
So you mentioned this, or no. One of the two of you just mentioned this, but where will DiCarlo slot in, right? What line, right? What line or who will be around him? You look at other veterans on this team in Travis Broman, in Josh LeBlanc, in Tyson Kirkby, in Ryan Bunka, and you say, who can be a distributor? Because Alex DiCarlo played on the same line last year as Passero, as Anthony, or 2 years ago, as Anthony Passero. And you want to talk about one of the best distributors this team has ever seen. That's Passero, all right? He had a sixth sense to figure out where people were. Same thing with Josh Zizek, too. But who is going to be that distributor this year? In my opinion, it's Josh LeBlanc. But the issue with that is you don't want to, I guess you can say, you don't want to make one line completely overpowered and have absolutely no production from anybody else.
Exactly.
From any other line.
Exactly.
So do you put DiCarlo with a Broman on the other side, with LeBlanc in the middle, maybe with a Mac Lewis in the center? Sure. But I think DiCarlo, not I think, I know, DiCarlo has enough skill to be able to create his own chances as well. So if you can kind of get him to, because you already know he can score goals, but he can pass the puck too. If you can get him to pass the puck even just a little bit more to some underclassmen, and you put him with a couple underclassmen on second line, even, I think that they have a great chance of maybe even outscoring Broman on that first line because DiCarlo was good.
And I'm actually going to go the opposite there. You forgot about the transfers. You forgot about guys that played D1 hockey. You forgot about the Jared Nash in the world, the one senior we have. And thinking about it, those guys with experience at the D1 level, those are going to come in and really produce and maybe lead a team. And you got to remember, obviously, a lot of players, those underclassmen, but those transfers, a lot of obviously defensemen, but those couple forwards are going to be key in this lineup to really lead and have that presence as an upperclassman, even though they are a transfer. So obviously, I think the right move, like we talked about, split up the lines, make four great lines. You'd rather have that than two okay lines at the bottom of your forward core. So I'm really going to go with maybe a transfer like Jared Nash.
So you're mentioning a transfer. I'm going to take a hot take here and go with the sophomore, the new 13, replacing the former captain, Josh Zizek, Jackson Arkin. He's 6'2". He played for the Navin Grads in the CCHL. When he played there, 56 games played, 33 goals, 35 assists, 68 points, over a point per game. So he knows how to put the puck in the net. I am really optimistic for this guy. I think he's going to do well. I think potentially be on a power play with DiCarlo. I don't see them being on the same line. I just don't think it'll probably gel as well. But I think he's going to be providing more of that secondary scoring for the Oswego State team this year.
Well, you know DiCarlo is going to be on that power play when they get it. But that brings me to another point, though. Another question for this team, special teams. It was historically bad last year. All right. They did not play well on special teams at all. Well, Thomas, do you have the stats on the power play or even? Oh, yeah. No, we got them right here. We got them right here in 2019, 2020. Are these ranked? Suniak, right? Suniak. This is not good. The power play percentage, 21.7. What is it down from the year before? Case, if you can look that up.
Yeah, I'll find it.
I want to know what that's down from. That's ranked third in the Suniak. That is uncharacteristic of the Laker hockey way, the Ed Gosek hockey way.
It wasn't down that much. Went to 26%.
That's still 5%. That's down. A decent amount because that was, I believe, still behind Geneseo, but only by like a point. But the penalty kill, that's where it, pardon the pun, killed them every single time.
Penalties were bad.
80% on the penalty kill, ranked fifth in the Suniak. You can't do that. This is a team that has been known for special teams for so long. 1920, we hope it wasn't a downfall and for the future. But that is, I think, the number one focus of this team coming in. All right. It hurt them against Geneseo. It hurt them against Utica last year in January. It hurt them against Hobart. It even hurt them against Cortland when they lost in overtime, right? That's something that needs to be fixed from day one, right? Even in this preseason matchup tonight, that is something that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, you mentioned how the struggle of special teams was. I'm looking at 2018, 2019, the season before. Their penalty kill, it was still ranked fifth, but it was 2% higher. It was 82.6% effective. So you're looking at a team like Oswego State, who struggled on the PK. They struggled with taking penalties as well. Like, you talk about the penalty in minutes. Oswego has not been very good when it came to that. We mentioned how in Geneseo, they couldn't keep their cool. They had six, seven guys kicked out.
It was 80 penalty minutes.
80 penalty minutes. Oswego had 299 in 2018. And I'm sure plenty more in 2019 once you include the two Geneseo games after that. So it's really, you got to keep your cool. You got to keep your sense of mentality, regardless of the circumstances, so you stay out of the box. Because we know that PK has not been successful as a play.
You got to think about it, though. Oswego plays physicality. It's physicality, 100%. It's grit. That's what you think about when you think of Laker hockey. And when you come into a special team game, if you're going to play that way, you got to back it up with a penalty kill. Play it simple. You got to get rid of those penalties, those dumb penalties, the stupid stick penalties, or the check from a high that you don't need in the corner. But at the end of the day, if you're going to play physical like that, if you're going to take penalties, you need to back it up on the penalty kill. Play it simple.
Emotions run high on this team.
It's a part of hockey with any team.
It's a part of hockey with any team. But each guy I've talked to this year, each guy I've gotten the pleasure to ask about this season, especially the returners, have all said that there's a different feeling, right? Emotions are running high because of the fact that they haven't played in 19 months. They need to be able to take their seniority, their veteran status, and show the underclassmen, hey, you can play with emotion, but don't let emotion take over your whole game, right? They need to be composed. They need to, like you said, stop with the dumb stick penalties or any of those dumb penalties for that matter, and just play their way. Play their way of hockey.
You talk about composure. As I mentioned, they had 299 penalty minutes in 2018-2019. Anyone want to take a crack on how many they had in 2019-2020?
Take the over.
No, whoa. Way under.
You'd be way wrong.
Well, no. Oh, you said 18-19. This 18-19 was 299. I thought you said this was 2019-2020. Oh yes. Taking the over.
Take the over. Yeah. It was 409.
So double. So almost double.
Yeah, almost double. I'd say one and a half. So
you just can't have that. Plain and simple.
I think the Geneseo game.
You think about the Geneseo
game. Almost double.
No.
All right. I can't do math.
You said 299, right?
It was 299. Now it's
49. That's like 1.3.
A third.
Nice math, Case.
No, numbers are hard.
Tech guy, right?
Numbers are hard. Words are hard. Dan Corlett.
Took stats. It's okay. It's a pass-fail class.
Sure.
Composure is going to be huge this year, especially going into – there's a lot of excitement, but you got to contain that excitement.
Well, I want to see how the energy is going to be from a fan point of view come Saturday. I don't really know what to expect. I think it's going to be electric, but at the same time, we've seen multiple games from that 2019-2020 season where the fans weren't really involved that much.
Can we talk about, and this relates to it, can we talk about the current, I guess you can call it Twitter war, or maybe it's the no longer current Twitter war, that Aaron Valentino, friend of the pod.
Shout out at WMYO Sports.
Yeah, friend of the pod, dear friend of the pod, kind of created with many people on his Twitter. If you could pull that up.
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
There's this new, I guess, trend going around with like these red flags or something like that. But he said something along the lines of the Campus Center Arena, now known as the Deborah F. Stanley Arena, is the best atmosphere in college hockey, or is the best arena in college hockey.
I'll give you the timeline. Back on September 27th, Aaron said MCC is the greatest arena in all of D3 hockey. Ben Grieco, friend of the pod.
Big friend of the pod.
Says, depends what side of the arena you mean. If you're talking about physical appearance, I'll agree with you. If you're talking about atmosphere, which I am big on, that's where there's several arguments.
Well, he's not wrong, right? Definitely right. Not. You have to look at it from two different standpoints. But if you combine them, do you get the best arena in college hockey?
Absolutely.
So Tommy T wants to say,
Serge, yes. You're on the opposite side of the spectrum right now compared to me.
You got to combine both. If you don't, like, let's be real here. Geneseo's rink isn't the greatest. I'll admit that. But all three of us were at that SUNYAC championship game against Oswego, and it was electric. Every time Geneseo scored, I almost couldn't hear myself think, to be completely honest. And then we had a decent student section there from Oswego on our own end. And when Oswego scored, same thing. It was just madness. Everything was packed in, just absolutely loaded. I think that, of course, 2 years ago now, I honestly think in the Geneseo game here, it was actually more electric than Whiteout. And Whiteout was a sold out.
Yeah, then part of that conversation is obviously Plattsburgh might be a little weaker of a team compared to past years. I think this year it's going to be a great Whiteout with obviously coaching staff now finding their role, the team finding their role under that new coaching staff in Plattsburgh. But, Mike, I just sent you my note. You want to read it off for me?
No, I'm actually going to rip it up.
All right.
Well, because that I disagree with.
We'll see. When we went to the SUNYAC game championship in Geneseo, I thought it was the best atmosphere in the IRA. Do I think the arena is nice? No, it's a box. It's literally the tightest box in America, similar to Brockport. It's literally the same engineering. It's got no unique features or anything.
They got two sides. Brockport only has one side.
Yeah, one and a half, if you want to count it a third way.
I don't know if you saw Case's note. There's a TV remote sitting on the thing. I don't know if you saw Case's note just now. He wrote down atmosphere and arena. By the way, neither of them were Oswego. Let's just throw that out there. Atmosphere, he said Geneseo. I think I can agree on that atmosphere. You may not, but I think I can agree on that atmosphere.
When you have seven people without their shirt on in a cold hockey arena and they want to be there, it just says something. That's all I'm going to say. You'll never see that.
No, it was more than that. They had like
Sudiac championship, they had like probably 20 people. At least a dozen.
And do you remember the signs they made? Our ice don't melt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good. That was original.
Then we had to come back with the library quote.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's atmosphere. We can all, I think, agree on that.
Yeah.
I am with you in saying the best, I guess you could say, structural physical arena. Is Oswego.
In D3, yes. I can make it somewhat of a counter argument only because Utica is a nice
Who are we playing tonight? Who are we playing tonight?
Hold on.
A team that plays in an AHL
Enough from the peanut gallery, please. Bubba, continue.
That's the only thing that you can take into consideration. That's why I say Oswego is better, because Utica wasn't able to, quote unquote, have their own arena. They play in an arena off campus that's home to an AHL team for years, and it's really old.
Have you ever been to a game there?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
It's very old.
Okay, but have you seen the crowd in there?
Have you seen the crowd for Utica College? Have you been to – someone's silent now.
I went to a game when I was younger. I was probably a freshman in high school. But they
– To be fair
– The fan base there and
– It's there.
It's like 7 years ago.
No, it's
you just told there. Me freshman year of high school.
Yeah,
it's, no, Utica has led D3 capacity fans for like the last.
And that's what I'm saying, because
they have a bigger arena.
Yeah, given the fact their rink is about like two times.
Do they pack the arena like we pack it?
I don't.
They pack it for a couple games, I think.
I think.
Well, like, let's think about it. You think about Utica. You're playing at an AHL rink. You have an ice surface that's for AHL. Our ice surface is, it's okay.
Yeah.
Bench, can we talk about bench configuration real quick? Because not a lot of people talk about it. We have the craziest bench configuration in all of NCAA hockey.
That's true. That's true.
I agree.
But then, opposite sides.
Opposite sides, but also based on the layout with the penalty boxes and thinking about where Oswego starts their first period, they're actually farther away at like the second period.
I've seen that happen
for two periods. Like RIT, Gene Policy Center is kind of like that.
I know Chiel Arena and Potsdam, they got the penalty boxes right next to the Clarkson bench. So it's somewhat the same concept. But just capacity wise, I just looked it up. The MCC, now Deborah F. Stanley, 2,500 is the capacity.
No,
it's way more than that. Well, that's what Wikipedia said.
Okay, well, Wikipedia is wrong because we've packed 3,300 people in there before.
Regardless, it's not going to be in comparison to Utica. Utica's capacity, 5,700. So, in retrospect, and I'm pretty sure I looked it up, Utica averages about 3,000 capacity. So they don't fail.
I don't
it
believe
up,
we average that. So
they
put more than we
but
do.
But that goes into atmosphere.
Yeah.
But that goes into atmosphere. But
I'm thinking about the Rick, though. It's original. I think MCC is kind of a smaller version of the odd layout-wise.
Yeah, I can somewhat agree to that.
But
I'm going to be on the side of Aaron Valentino, and I think that the Deborah F. Stanley Ice Arena.
The Debbie.
The Stan.
The Stan.
That's what I'm telling you.
I'm telling you. Stanley Arena.
I like the Stan. I believe that the Deb is the best physically appealing, structurally appealing arena in Division III hockey.
When the ice melts,
it's hard to
say it's the best arena.
All right, give me this. Ice doesn't melt. Best arena?
Still go with the odd.
Like it.
That's an interesting thing. But the last quote-unquote normal game prior to COVID with Utica College, their attendance in the UCHC championship was 3,110.
So they didn't even pack it.
So they didn't go full capacity, but let's be real. Utica's not going to jam.
I guess the real question is, and that really counters my argument, is how far is the odd from their campus?
I can give you that.
So Bubba's going to look that up. Google map that. The other question is, have you ever been to
Hobart? Over under 8 minutes.
Have you ever been to Hobart before?
Their rink is a youth. I'm sorry.
That is bad.
It's bad. Like Chris Foley?
Coldest rink in America.
And no, that's Chris Foley.
And it's Chris Foley. It's a box. It's a smaller version of the IRA. It's the smallish. It's smaller than the IRA. And it's got three bleachers.
So it's not even
three rows of bleachers. Yet. Yes, basically. Right. William Smith.
Over under 8 minutes. That's my over under.
Minutes or miles?
Minutes.
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 All right.
Over under 8 minutes. I have the over. You want to make an interesting case?
I'll take the over too. No, because I know it's more than 8 minutes. It's got to be.
It's the fastest route is 9.
Whoa! Eight minutes was a good call.
Mile wise, 3.6, whatever way you look at it.
I guess you could say MCC that stand the dead, whatever you want to call it this year, might be the best arena Division III hockey. Hey. You might have swung me. Hey. Atmosphere-wise, hey. No shot.
Atmosphere-wise, I think our student section has a lot to prove.
It's more than the student section.
It's in general. It's both aspects.
You got to get the town involved. You got to get students involved. You
get the town involved, but how much involvement is really what has to be asked and how much?
All right. I want to circle back around. All right. We've talked about Oswego's last season. And we've talked about Utica a little bit. I want to maybe talk about Utica a little bit more. They come in this year, like we said, they played last year and they're 8-2, right? Lost in the semifinal to Elmira. But they got something to prove. They finished the year ranked third. That is, you can't discredit that when they come into town. Right, preseason polls are not up yet, besides Suniac, obviously. Utica doesn't play in the Suniac. Preseason polls are not up yet online for anything D3 hockey nationally. But I will say that when Utica comes in tonight, they're going to play their hearts out. Even though it's an exhibition match, this will be the first of two times that these two teams see each other this year. They're going to learn a lot from this game. When January 9th comes, they're going to probably reflect on it a little bit, not a ton, because it is the first preseason for both of these teams. But this is a matchup that will tell the tale, that will stand the test of time for the rest of the year.
I agree, and it's going to be a big test. Even though Utica technically is going to be an exhibition game, Oswego hasn't dropped back-to-back losses against Utica since 2012-2013. Losing 3-2 at the Deborah F. Stanley, previously MCC, and then ending up losing 6-0 at the odd. So that's one thing that I'm going to take into consideration. I think it's more just a tone set. You play a solid college hockey team, fresh out the get-go, even though it is an exhibition, and then also fresh off of no season last year. So I think as much as it's stereotypical to say you got to set the tone right, but this year, it plays even more fact because of who you're playing against to open up the season.
You also got to think about it. I think it's going to be two completely different teams when we get to January 9th. I think Utica is going to obviously learn a lot the first semester. Oswego, lineup could be completely different by the time we get to January 9th when we head to Utica. Supposed to be that outdoor game.
Don't even get me started on that, please.
I just want to point that out there.
That's a disappointment.
Don't even get me started
on that. Definitely a disappointment, but I really think – Pioneers are going to come in. It's not going to be an exhibition game. It's not going to be like that. It's
going to be an expedition, guys.
In terms of how the vibe's going to be, how the tempo is going to be in the Deb come tonight. But come January 9th, I think it's going to be a completely different feel, and we'll see where everyone's ranked nationally.
I'll mention briefly that Utica and Oswego have met each other at a neutral site before. It was going to be a second time for the outdoor rink thing, but they did play in the dome in 14-15 that ended in an overtime tie.
Unacceptable.
It was 4-4.
Should be shootouts.
High scoring game.
Should be shootouts at NCAA hockey.
I agree. But the one thing that I like that I hate to say it, but I played in favor of Utica compared to Oswego is one, they played last year. They actually played in the UCHC and played 10 games, as mentioned, ended up losing in the semifinal. Regardless, how many returners? 18 returners, three graduate students, one of them in specific, number 11, Brett Emerson. He's a 5'11 forward, 20 goals, 43 assists, 63 points in 71 games. That's a lot of helpers.
A lot of experience.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of experience coming from the Tigers.
And then we have two D1 transfers, one coming from Mercyhurst in the American Hockey, and then one coming from Alabama Huntsville, who's in the WCHA. Even though one's a defenseman, one's a forward, they don't have a lot of point totals, but I think they still can make an influence. They know what it takes.
We have one from Robert Morris, too. Is that not?
That's us, we go.
We have Robert Morris.
Oh, yeah. We have Robert Morris.
They have
Ohio.
Rick. Yeah.
And Anchorage.
It's going to be a dogfight tonight. It is going to be a dogfight. It's going to be preseason, but atmosphere is going to be electric. Utica is going to bring their A game. Hopefully Oswego does the same. And it's going to be one for the ages. I'll tell you that much.
One of the things that I like, and I'm honestly curious about, is three guys on Oswego's roster. You got Noah and Shane Ball, the twins from the Pickering Panthers in the OJHL. They also have another forward, who's a sophomore, who came in with the Bull Brothers, number 16, Rocco Andriacci. He also played on Pickering. So part of me wonders, will Ed Gosek, head coach Ed Gosek, potentially put them to make a Pickering Panther connection?
It's not a bad call.
I don't know how I feel about
it. Also got to think about righty-lefty situation.
Yeah. All sophomores. Andriachi's got a lot of points, 27, 42, and 69. And then the Bull Brothers, Noah Bull's got 7, 11, and 18. And Shane Bull's got 6, 18, and 24. But rightfully so, we look. Andriachi's played 54 games with those stats. Noah Bull, 26. Shane Bull, 25.
Nothing to sneeze at. All right. Before we get out of here, we are going to get out of here. We kept you here long enough, kept you captive. But thank you if you are still listening, for listening. We need to make some predictions. This is Case's favorite moment. This is the moment that he gets to show everybody listening to the podcast, everybody in the world, that he is the worst prediction maker in all of sports. I'm going to give Bubba the floor first. What do you got? Winner and final score.
Winner, I think it's going to be Utica because of how many returns they have back and how the fact that they played last year as well. I think Utica comes up on top, but I don't think it's going to be as much like a difference as we think. I'm thinking 4-2 empty net.
So really 3-2.
3-2.
Okay. 3-2 and empty net. I'm going to add one more. Give me a goal scorer from either team.
I think
this is a tough one because it is preseason.
This is a tough one. Do you want me to do one for each team?
No. Just one from the game.
Oh, geez. That's a tough one.
I know. I sprung it on you.
I got an easy answer over here for a goal scorer.
Sure you do.
I know I do.
Sure you do.
This is going to be an interesting one. I talked with him a little bit during our media day, but I'm going to go with Tyson Kirkby.
Like it. That's funky.
Interesting take. He said, quote, the over-under on 7 Austin Matthews goal celebrations this year. So I'm hoping that he hits the over. I'm hoping it starts.
That is funky.
6 goals, 12 assists for 18 points.
Yep. We're going to go with it.
Through 35 games played for the Lakers.
Listen.
I like that.
Might as well.
Not bad.
I'm going to hold yours off for just a moment, Case, because I'm going to let you think.
Come on. Okay. I'm ready to go.
I got the Lakers. Not the same score, though. I have the Lakers 4-3. No empty netter, but it will be a late third period goal. And that particular late third period goal scored by the man we talked about for a long while, Alex DeCarlo.
I'll see. I don't like DiCarlo pick there. That's not a bad option. Let's go to my prediction, though. I got Utica. 5-3, empty netter.
High score.
I think it's going to be a high scoring. I think there's going to be a little lack of team defense tonight just due to the fact that you haven't played team chemistry-wise. And some goaltenders in and out of the lineup, obviously, with the periods and stuff. So, 5-3. And I'm going to go with Broman. So I don't really think he's going to be in the lineup. I hope he is. I don't think he would be out unless they're unless Gozick's just trying to see some guys in there. But let's take Brobin and see what he does. So
am I the only one?
You're the only one with us sweet away this game.
I get the feeling on the perch too. I'm gonna be one of three that pick Oswego when I'm on the perch tonight.
For yeah, I think all three are gonna go with Oswego.
I promise we're not homers, but we're definitely.
See, I wasn't a homer in the Plattsburgh game, and then everyone ridiculed me. So
you made a really bad take.
What'd you pick? Plattsburgh going 4-1?
4-3.
4-3.
All right. 5-3 empty net Utica tonight.
5-3.
All right, I'm getting the call from Sports Director WTOP10 Brian Rudman. With that. That being said, I got the Lakers. Two of them have the Pioneers. All coming your way tonight. All right? You can start by tuning into NYO at 6, as Jared Wakefield and the guys will have your first half hour. They do an hour, but they'll have your first half hour. Give them a little love, and then give us at TOP a little love as well. And watch from 6:30 on. And also, if you're listening right now, you're on campus, you're in town, go pick up a copy of the Oswegonian. All right. Go pick up a copy. Go read. Reading is good. Go pick up a hockey ticket.
You better be here tonight.
Sold out crowd. Anyways, Zachary Case, Thomas, Bubba Turgeon, I'm Michael Gross. Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of the Oswegonian Hockey Podcast. We'll see you again next weekend.